WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Hey, hey, what is up, beautiful people? Can you feel the excitement in the air? I mean, my goodness. You know, I was driving around campus early this morning. Don't ask why. It was around 5 a.m. And I passed the MSU Union, folks. And there were students and MSU fans outside in a long, long line at the MSU Union waiting to attend the ESPN First Take taping. Oh, my goodness. The hoop lies in the air, folks. Michigan State and Ohio State will get it on tomorrow night at Spartan Stadium. My blood's boiling just thinking about it. I can't wait for it. I'm getting chills up my spine, folks. It's going to be a fantastic game. We're going to talk about that game, dive into it. We'll talk a little Lions for you, invite Mike Cohan to preview tonight's district games in the world of high school football. And, you know, we'll reflect a little bit, seeing as though it's Friday, and here on Current Sports, we dub it Reflection Friday, folks. And we'll also be giving away a pair of two tickets to tonight's Michigan State and St. Cloud State men's basketball game at Breslin Center, and also to the MSU women's basketball game. So find out how to win those tickets in just a sec. But as custom here on Current Sports, here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners for this November 7th. All right, folks, well, ESPN continues to flood the MSU campus, and tomorrow, College Game Day will be broadcasting live on the campus of Michigan State. Now, fans wishing to attend Saturday's ESPN College Game Day may pay $20 to park in the Trowbridge parking ramp. Ramp 5 opens at 7 a.m., located directly south of this building right here, the Communication Arts and Sciences building. Now, those fans should note that tailgating cannot begin prior to 1 p.m. when all other campus lots open for game-related parking. Gates to the ESPN College Game Day compound located at Dim Hall Field. Again, folks, that's at Dim Hall Field, opened tomorrow at 7 a.m. So wipe the crust out your eyes, all right? Now, it marks the third straight time that College Game Day will broadcast from the site of the Michigan State-Ohio State game. Overall, it marks the 10th time in College Game Day history that it will originate from a Michigan State game. Exciting stuff, folks. The buzz is certainly in the air. All right, Peter and John Jones-Secchi, I should say, have donated $3 million to the athletic department, the school announced on Thursday, to be directed toward the endowment of the defensive coordinator position and to the men's basketball program. Now, the gift comes 2 weeks after MSU Athletics received a $10 million gift, which was the largest single donation ever received by the department from Bob and Julie Scandalaris to benefit the school's football, basketball, and golf program. So Peter and Jones-Secchi, again, $3 million. Man, they're rolling in the dough. Gotta love that, right? All right, number 18, Michigan State wraps up exhibition play against St. Cloud State Friday night. That's right, that is tonight, folks. In its first exhibition contest, MSU defeated the Masters College 97-56 on Monday. This is the final tune-up before the Spartans open the regular season on November 14th at Navy. Now, St. Cloud State returns three starters from last year's team that posted a 20-8 record. So if you want to get a chance to win tickets to tonight's Michigan State and St. Cloud State MSU men's basketball game, hey, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527. We'll take your calls on the air and throw a trivia question at you. If you get that question right, hey, you'll be enjoying two tickets to enjoy that game tonight. How about that? All right. Four-star linebacker Darren Kirkland Jr. became the third player to decommit from Brady Hoke's football program this season. He announced it via Twitter, saying, quote, "I am officially decommitting from the University of Michigan and opening up my recruitment." He also posted a message on Thursday night. In addition to that, "I wanted to thank the university and especially the coaching staff for allowing me the opportunity to attend such a prestigious institution." Now, the 6'1", 233-pounder from Lawrence Central High School in Indianapolis committed to Michigan in May. He is the number 167th player on Rivals Top 50 for the 2015 class. Well, Bad news in Red Wings land, folks. The Red Wings goalie Jonas Gustafsson will miss the next several weeks because of a dislocated left shoulder sustained Wednesday against the New York Rangers. GM Ken Holland issued a statement on Thursday. Now, Gustafsson, who's 30 years old, will have x-rays and be evaluated today. He was injured reaching for a rebound before Derek Brassard scored a minute and 50 into overtime to give the Rangers that 4-3 overtime win. He made 26 saves in their first start in five games. There is no time frame for his return. How about this? Rory McIlroy continues to turn heads in the world of golf and collect accolades unseen since the world of Tiger Woods. Folks, Rory is Golf Magazine's 2014 Player of the Year for the third time in 4 years. And how about this? Nike has decided to terminate the contract of Minnesota Vikings running back Adrian Peterson. Now, a spokesman for the shoe and apparel company confirmed the news on Thursday. Nike suspended his contract with Peterson on September 17th, meaning it stopped paying him and would not consider him for use in its advertising. Now, moral clauses in endowment contracts allow for companies such as Nike to terminate deals with its athletes depending on the level of transgression. And last but not least, Ravens general manager Ozzie Newsome testified under oath on Thursday in the Ray Rice appeal hearing that he heard the former Baltimore running back tell NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell during his June 16th disciplinary hearing that he had hit his then-fiance in a casino hotel elevator. Two sources told the Outside the Lines realm of ESPN. Rice's appeal of his indefinite suspension ended Thursday in the office is a former U.S. district judge and will decide the outcome. Rice also testified Thursday, and so did his wife, Jeanette. Well, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners, folks. So much happening. I tell you what, again, I was driving around on campus early this morning, bright and early this morning, getting a head start to my Friday. And I can't believe it's already Friday. My goodness, time flies, during the week, especially when you're having fun, folks, and we have a great time here on Current Sports. But anyway, I'm driving around, and I see this crazy, crazy line outside of the MSU Student Union. And, you know, I turn my head, and I see, you know, students out there and fans out there with their green and white jerseys on, with their Michigan State hoodies on. Hey, I even saw a few Dallas Cowboy jerseys out there. Now, I'm sitting there like, oh, yeah, First Take tapes this morning. And, man, did the students come out in bunches. So I decided to stream it on my laptop, the First Take episode this morning, of course, with Stephen A. Smith and Skip Bayless and Kerry Champion, who are all three. They do an outstanding job on that show. And, you know, I streamed it to watch it, and they actually had Tom Izzo on the show this morning, and they had Mark D'Antonio on the show as well. And it was pretty cool just to see, how ESPN put together that production. In a similar fashion as Numbers Never Lie, when Jemele Hill was here. Of course, Jemele Hill, an MSU alum, who is now a co-host of the ESPN nationally syndicated show Numbers Never Lie, which actually just changed his name. I don't know if you guys saw that, but it changed his name to His and Hers. I peeped that not too long ago on ESPN as well. But anyway, Jemele and Michael Smith, who are the co-hosts of that show, they broadcast this live from ESPN in October from the student union. It was a similar setup, but man, oh man, I mean, the students came out in bunches. Sparty was there. You know, you had, you know, members of the MSU band. And it just kind of puts in perspective just how big this Michigan State and Ohio State game is that will be taking place tomorrow night, folks. Not only do you have First Take here today, you got College Game Day here tomorrow. Game Day, of course, a very, very popular show. Desmond Howard and Fowler and all those guys, Lee Corso and Kirk Herbstreit, those guys will be in town to broadcast that show tomorrow morning. And it's just really putting perspective just how big this game is. And you know what? I would even go as far as to say, now I'm just speaking during my lifetime, okay? I was born in 1990, I'm 24 years old, and for me, being a Michigan State fan and following this football program, you know, being an MSU alum at that as well, this, in my lifetime at least, I'm going to make the argument that this is the biggest Michigan State game that I have ever witnessed and been a part of and covered. Point blank, period. And now this is coming from me, you know, who I had the privilege of, and Alex did too, of us going out for WKAR in covering the Rose Bowl last year. I would argue that this game tomorrow is bigger than that game. Bigger than that game, folks. And the reason I say that is with this being the first year of the 4-team playoff, and I know we've talked about this left and right. You know, you can't turn on your television without hearing about the 4-team playoff or someone talking about it. But, you know, it's certainly gotten a lot of attention. And, you know, seeing as though Michigan State is very highly favored right now as far as its national perception is concerned with this football program, if Michigan State, just think about it right now. If Michigan State beats Ohio State tomorrow, let's say they do win, and they win out on the season, Michigan State has a legit argument that they deserve to be in that playoff and to play for a national championship. So the reason why I'm saying that this is the biggest game for me that I've ever covered, that I've ever witnessed in Michigan State football history, is because we are talking about a possible national championship bid if Michigan State beats Ohio State tomorrow, and assuming they'll win out. Because this will be, other than the Oregon game, this game tomorrow is Michigan State's biggest test. This will decide the conference. Because in my eyes, it's been a two-team horse race this entire year. So if Michigan State beats Ohio State, hey, my goodness. I mean, sky's the limit for this team. So I want to get your thoughts on it. First off, what do you guys think is going to happen tomorrow at the big game? What does this game, as far as just equating it into some of the biggest games, Michigan State football games you've seen of all time, where does this rank in that realm? And I want to get your thoughts on that, folks. 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We'll be taking your calls on the air. We'll be breaking the game down in just a minute. And, you know, we'll chime in and just give you our thoughts on what we think is going to happen tomorrow. So it's a fun time, though. Just the buzz around campus. You got to love it, folks. You got to love this, because this is what, I mean, just the essence of college football. When you're talking about dreams as big as a national championship, I mean, my goodness, for Spartan fans, you got to be, you know, foaming at the mouth right now. I mean, Mike, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable, folks. Also, want to remind you all that, hey, Current Sports TV will be taping next week. I just got confirmation as of about, I want to say, 20 minutes ago. I'm excited about this, and I'm sure the community around here in Mid-Michigan is excited about this. This team has certainly grabbed the attention of many, and, of course, including us here at WKAR. Nick Archer, who is the head coach of the East Lansing boys soccer program, him and his boys have done something that's never been done in that school's history, and that's win back-to-back state championships in boys soccer, folks. Nick is a long-time coach for the East Lansing Trojans. I mean, if you ever met Nick, and it was actually my first time meeting Nick about 2 weeks ago, because we were doing a player profile on DeJuan Jones. DeJuan Jones is an unbelievable athlete. And if you haven't heard, you know, Nick came on our show earlier this week on the radio show and announced that DeJuan had been named. He is Mr. Soccer for the 2014 boys high school soccer year. He's unbelievable, folks. Unbelievable. And he will be taking his talents to Michigan State next year. So he is an MSU commit. He had one outstanding year. I mean, the kid can flat out ball. So when I was out there doing this profile on him, which we aired on the show, you know, I ran into Nick, and I also interviewed Nick about the season, about, you know, it was right on the heels of that state championship matchup coming up that weekend, which they, of course, took care of business and accomplished. And Nick is just the nicest dude. He's funny. He's a witty guy and just a real, just good guy. And Nick actually also is an MSU alum. He played at Michigan State and, you know, had a pretty good career as a soccer player here. And, you know, the coaching bug bit him, and he has done one remarkable job over at East Lansing High School. So Nick and his entire team will be joining me next week, Wednesday, at 6 p.m. at the WKAR TV studios. I love it when I can grab, you know, entire teams for a Current Sports TV taping, because they are thrilled to be there, and it's fun because you get kind of a hands-on feel at dissecting what this team is about, not only on the court, field, or so have you, but also off of it as well. And, you know, they're a great group of young men, and I look forward to sitting down with them next week. So if you want to sign up for that live studio audience, again, that will be taking place next week, Wednesday at 6 p.m., just simply go to WKAR.com. ESPN.org. And if you missed my sit-down with Lindsey Hunter, former Piston and 2004 NBA champion, you can catch that on video.wkr.org. And every single episode that we've done in current sports TV history is posted right there to that website. Alex Sharg, man, how you doing? A little quiet over there behind the glass. Happy Friday, my man.
Happy Friday to you too, Al. And, you know, game day being around here, trying to take it all in. I can't believe how many students are around.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I was driving around campus, and I had a hard time, you know, getting to the Comm Arts building because, I mean, the students were trying to find where to park and where to line up for the taping. I mean, it's absolutely insane, and it's going to be like that or even more tomorrow as College Game Day will be broadcasting from Dem Hall tomorrow morning. And, again, if you want to get to that taping, you're going to have to get there very, very early. But, yeah, I mean, this game, though, oh, my goodness. I mean, this game has so many implications as to what can happen for Michigan State's national title hopes. So, and again, we're asking you guys to call in 517-355-9527, 517-355. We will be taking your calls this entire hour, folks, on anything that you want to discuss, whether it be the game, if we want a chance to win the tickets, so on and so forth, folks. We actually have John from Grand Ledger on line one. John, my man, how you doing?
Hi, Al. First of all, I'd like to say as far as this game tomorrow, I agree with you. I think it's bigger than the Rose Bowl. I think it's probably the biggest game since Mark D'Antonio has been here as coach.
Yeah.
The reason being is, yes, we won the Big Ten last year. We won the Rose Bowl, and everybody will say, oh, yeah, State has that good team every 20, 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
By winning tomorrow and getting through the rest of the year, even if they're not selected in the Final Four, but if they go 12-1, that solidifies State on a national perspective. Hey, these guys are here, and they're getting here every year. So that means the whole thing that Mark wanted to establish was a program, and I think he's done it. And all this does is like icing on the cake to establish Michigan State more on a national level. I'd like to get your opinion. I'll take it off the air. And as far as the best games that I've ever seen, I put this second after, of course, the 10-10 tie in 66. But it's in the top five. Thanks for hearing me out, Al.
Yeah, hey, thank you, John, for your call. And, yeah, I totally agree with him. I mean, for me, put in perspective the games that I've seen in my lifetime. Again, I'm born in 1990. I'm 24 years old. So for me, my memory is limited as far as going deep into the history of Michigan State. I hear all the time, you know, me being around seasoned veterans in this media game who have been covering Michigan State for a long time. You know, guys like you know Fred Heumann, my former boss, even Tim Stout when I listen to him from time to time in the mornings. Jack Ebling, who's a local figure as well. Guys who have been covering this team and know the history front and back, you know, like the back of their hand. I mean, they always bring up the 10-10 tie. They bring up, you know, the national championship back in the 60s. They bring up that Rose Bowl back in the 80s, you know, and they bring up last year's Rose Bowl as well. But seeing, when you talk about a national scheme here where Michigan State is coming off a Rose Bowl, because I think it's great that John brought up that to bring up last year's success, because to establish and really put a stamp on whether or not you are one of the best programs in the nation at one particular sport, we're talking here in college football, you have to prove to people that it's not a fluke. That, okay, oh man, you had one great year, oh, that's great, fantastic, you won a Rose Bowl, but can you do it again? Can you get back there, or can you eclipse what you did the previous year? Consistent success puts a stamp on your place in history and on your program to show the world that, yeah, this program is something to deal with, and you better deal with the Spartans. You're going to have to deal with the Spartans year after year after year. Alex, where does this game rank for you? Because for me right now, it's number one. It's numero uno.
Yeah, I respectfully disagree with you and John that called in.
Mm-hmm.
It would be different if Michigan State went to Ohio State and then beat them at home.
I don't think that matters, though.
But here's the thing. First of all, you still have a 6-3 Maryland team coming up the next week. Second of all, it's not a very good chance that they even win the championship game after that. It's going to be tough. It's
Alex,
just because they beat Nebraska,
come
and
on,
if they
man.
Win, it's not going to be this cakewalk that you think it's going to be running
Alex,
the table.
This is going to be a walk in the park with Sally Sue. Okay, if you look at, let's be honest here. The Big Ten has not been great this year. It has not been great. Across the board, it has not been great. There are only two teams, East and West, that have turned heads and had people like, okay, I can see them possibly competing on a national stage. And those two teams are Michigan State and Ohio State. You don't hear Maryland. You don't hear, definitely not Michigan. You don't hear any other teams being talked in national championship respectives except the Spartans and Buckeyes. It comes down to these two. It comes down to these two, Alex.
But in regard to the playoff, I agree that Maryland and maybe Nebraska, but keep in mind, Nebraska is currently ranked very close to Ohio State.
Nebraska has no shot at the
perspective is there.
Nebraska has no shot at the 14 playoff, Alex.
I'll get to that in a second. But I'm just saying here that just because if Michigan State wins and beats Ohio State, if Michigan State continues on, don't leave out the chance that they could lose to Maryland or Nebraska.
Yeah, there's always a chance. That's why you play the game at the same time, though. It's highly unlikely that after, you know, whatever happens on Saturday, Michigan State is going to lose their next two games to end the season. That's very highly unlikely. This is the game, Alex. Now, going back to your point, though, talking about if Michigan State played Ohio State on the road, I don't think that matters in this regard because, I mean, these two teams are the best in the Big Ten. It doesn't matter if you're playing at Ohio State, if you're playing at Michigan State. You got to get the job done.
But here's the thing, Al, is you said it yourself. The Big Ten Conference hasn't been good. If Michigan State is beating the best team at home, what kind of statement does that make to the committee?
The committee is not going to look at where this game was played, Alex. They're going to look at the results.
Oh, you bet they will.
They are going to look at the results of how this outcome happened. Because that's not an excuse. I don't care if Michigan State was playing at Ohio State. They still got to win there to have a legitimate case. And vice versa for both of these teams. So I don't think that holds any weight.
If Michigan State lost at home to Oregon with that same score, you're telling me that won't weigh differently than losing on the road?
You lost. At the end of the day, you lost. At the end of the day, when you look at that game, you still lost. Period. Point blank, period. And that's what matters. The committee, they're not going to look at if this game was played here and how they competed here and so on and so forth. What matters in any realm, when you talk about a championship realm at the end of the season, it matters what you do in the win column. I don't care where the game was played.
Well, look, they
can play on Pluto, for goodness
sake. Our last caller said that this might be the biggest game since Mark D'Antonio has been here.
I think it is.
But here's
the thing, Al. I agree.
The college football playoff after this year and the teams that will be left out, there's obviously going to be some reforming here with this playoff. You and I both talked about it, that there's no way that every year you can stay with four teams.
No, it's got to expand.
It has to expand.
Yeah, I agree.
So, regardless of what happens this year with the Big Four, it's going to change. And there's going to be plenty more examples down the road, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, where Michigan State is in that 16, maybe 18 playoff, and they're competing for the national championship.
But Alex, that's not here yet.
We can't
hop in our current sports time machine and fast forward.
Last year's game with the Rose Bowl, beating Stanford and beating Ohio State in the Big Championship game, you're telling me that this game, regular season,
is bigger than
at
that.
Home,
yes.
Is bigger than that
because in the Rose Bowl.
Don't get me wrong.
The Rose Bowl is great. That is great. That's one of the top tier college bowls that you want to play in. The Rose Bowl is all fine and dandy. But this game, Alex, has implications of a national championship. A national championship trumps a Rose Bowl victory, Alex, 10 times out of 10. If Michigan State beats Ohio State, the implication is that they're going to win out, and they are a solidified, really strong argument to play for a national championship and
but
be in
I
that playoff.
I think that's where you got to twist it. Even if Michigan State or whoever wins out, Oregon's still ranked ahead of the day. There are plenty of teams that could be two lost teams that could still be ranked at the end of the day ahead of any Big Ten team.
Alex, I understand that, but right now the national MSU is getting a lot of love right now. They're getting a lot of love on the national scene right now. And looking at Vegas, looking at First Take this morning, you got Skip and Stephen A. debating about how this team can win a national championship. Both of them picking Michigan State to win. This game again. If Michigan State beats Ohio State, you better believe the committee is going to fall completely in love with this team and they're going to be in high regards to compete in that 14 playoff. I guarantee it. That's why it's so big. Because now we're not talking about Rose Bowl. We're not talking about Rose Bowl here. We're not talking about a top tier bowl. We are talking about being considered possibly the number one team in college football at the end of the day. That's why this game is so big.
Now, the TCU, the Arizona State, Notre Dame game, all of those games are getting way more notice conference-wise.
Stop it, son.
Than the Big Ten Conference.
There's a reason. There's a reason right now why two ESPN shows are on this campus right now. I believe I have another caller right here. Is this Tom? Tom, how you doing?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you today?
Doing fantastic.
Okay, I'm going to voice an opinion on the merits of the football game, but I have a question not related to MSU football that I wanted to ask you first.
Yes.
I know you're in touch with the MSU women's basketball team. Do you have an update on Madison Williams?
Yes. Well, as of right now, during media day, Madison Williams, she does look healthy. I will say that. Now, as far as how her minutes will be allocated throughout the year, that is still yet to be seen. So I guess we have to see what happens on Sunday. But right now, her status is healthy.
Okay. Now, my comment on the game is I'm going to have to agree with your partner because tomorrow's game is a big game. It's an important game, but it's still a home game.
Yeah.
And Michigan State is still playing a team that's ranked considerably under them. The game has a lot of significance, but in terms of a one game being one of the greatest games ever, I'm going to have to disagree because even if they win, they can lose to Maryland, they can lose to Penn State, and it will wipe out whatever positive momentum they would have gotten from
it. Yeah, Tom, how likely is that though? I mean, let's say Michigan State wins tomorrow, right? And, you know, you got Maryland, Penn State coming up. Just looking at Maryland and Penn State, do you really fathom that the Spartans are going to lose to those two teams?
No, I don't. But if you look at it in that context, you have to say, well, the Nebraska game was one of the most important games because if they had lost that, they would have been knocked out the loop. The Ohio State game is an important game because Michigan State has, in order to compete for national championship, they have to win them all. Ohio State, Maryland, whoever. They have to win them all. So in that context, the Ohio State game is the same as anybody else. Now, the fact that this is it's going to be the best two teams competing against each other does add some additional significance to it. But I would not put the game tomorrow above the Rose Bowl in terms of the significance of the win. Particularly since that was the last game of the season, and it was the stamp for the year. Win or lose tomorrow may or may not be their stamp for the year. So I think it's a big game. I'm rooting for them. But in terms of it being up there with the 10-10 tie or a Rose Bowl win or anything like that, I wouldn't put it up that far. Thanks for hearing me out.
Hey, thanks a lot, Tom. I appreciate your opinion, my man. Yeah, definitely. I have to respectfully disagree with you, too. I definitely see where you're coming from. But for me, just looking at, because I'm always a sky's the limit type of guy. You know, when I'm looking at a matchup like this, I say, okay, what would happen? What would happen if Michigan State won this game? Well, ideally, you know, just going off the numbers here, ideally what would happen is Michigan State will win. They'll win out for the season. I'm just throwing out some predictions here. And then the committee will sit down and look at Michigan State's resume and say, wow, okay. Their only blemish was, Oregon. And I truly think that some on the committee will probably take into consideration that Michigan State did have a lead in that game against an Oregon team who is ranked fourth right now, as according to the second polling of the college football playoff poll. And they will look at that game and say, wow, okay, Michigan State kind of gave these guys a run for their money early in that game, even though after that it kind of went downhill. But Michigan State has a solid case here, a solid case. We would strongly consider possibly putting them in that 14 playoff and possibly competing for a national championship. For me, why I say this is more important than the Rose Bowl, though, is because for the Rose Bowl, that's it. You play in the Rose Bowl, that's it. You're not national champ. It's still a heck of an accomplishment. You're one of the best college football teams in the nation. And it hasn't been done around East Lansing, around Mid-Michigan. It hasn't been done for this program since 1988. It was huge. Don't get me wrong. But when you talk about possibly competing for that national championship, that national championship trophy, oh, boy. That holds a lot of weight. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we'll talk about some prep sports, folks. Not only, you know, is it, you know, the eve of the Michigan State-Ohio State game, but tonight we got about 14 local playoff teams competing to try and make their state championship dreams come true in high school football. Mike Cohan from MLive.com joins me in studio. You don't want to miss that chat. Stick around. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. I want to remind you guys that we have about 30 minutes left in the show, and we've got a pair of tickets to tonight's Michigan State, St. Cloud State, MSU men's basketball game. We've got a pair of tickets to go to that game tonight, and also a pair of tickets for the MSU women's basketball game that will be taking place on Sunday. It is their season opener. They will be opening with an exhibition game as well. If you want to call in and possibly win tickets to go to those two games, call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Well, let's take a step back from the Spartan and Buckeye fiasco and discussion and hoopla, and let's talk about another big story around the area. Folks, there are 14, yes, 14 local area schools that are still in the hunt for a state championship, folks. Now, the winners of tonight's football playoff games will be just two victories away, just two away from a date in the championship games at Ford Field on Detroit on Thanksgiving weekend. I can't believe, oh man, it's just flying by. So we bring in our man, friend of the show, high school prep writer for MLive.com, Mike Cohan. Mike, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing okay, Al.
Welcome to another episode of Current Sports, man. I mean, you've been doing a fantastic job week to week, kind of keeping us abreast of what's going on in the high school football scene. I tell you what, I want to start off with this Battle Creek Harper Creek game at Eaton Rapids. Now, is this correct? Because I actually went on MLive.com, just, you know, scouring the web a little bit to get some previews of this game. And I think you've released your prediction already for this game, right? I think you chose, is it Eaton Rapids by 6? Is that right?
Yeah.
Why so?
I think Eaton Rapids is playing really well right now. Harper Creek has played some tough competition, but they have also played some really weak competition. And what's happened is they've lost to the really tough competition, and they've kind of squeaked by most of the weak competition. Meanwhile, Eaton Rapids is putting up bigger wins against some of the weaker teams. So they're just on a roll.
They certainly are.
I don't know how far they'll take it. I'm not saying, you know, they're going to end up in Ford Field or anything like that, but right now they're just playing really well.
And this is truly remarkable because Eaton Rapids, I mean this game is going to be at Eaton Rapids, right?
Yeah, it will.
So this is back-to-back weeks that Eaton Rapids has hosted a playoff game, right?
Yeah.
I think that's the first time that's happened in school history. That's pretty remarkable stuff. Now, you know, I tell you what, the Greyhounds defense was very impressive last week against Kalamazoo United.
Yeah.
I tell you what, this is a team, the Greyhounds have certainly been turning some heads. What's the culture like at Eaton Rapids now? Can we call this a turning point in this program's history? Can we see a springboard possibly for years to come with the Greyhounds?
Yeah, Eaton Rapids has had a tradition of success in football. And right now, their coach, Mike Smith, many people might remember him from Holt back when he coached there. And then he went on and coached at Olivet College for a little bit. Mike Smith is a good coach. And when he was at Holt, he made winners out of teams where sometimes the talent was pretty good, but they played above that talent level. And I think he's getting the same kind of results at Eaton Rapids. I think he has good players. I think he's just getting more out of them than maybe other coaches would, because he is a very good coach. He's a guy that kids like, too. He's kind of fun, a little goofy. I don't know if you had an opportunity to meet him before.
But I have. He's definitely a player's coach.
He is. He's he's just kind of a fun guy, and I love interviewing him. I'll tell you right now, if you ever interview him for radio, go back and listen, because he he says some really goofy stuff. So.
Yeah, he's a witty guy, to say the least.
He is very witty, very witty. But yeah, I think Eaton Rapids is back on the map. They've always done okay. You know, even in their worst seasons, they were still okay. But I think he's got them back in a good direction.
All right, Mike, let's talk Saginaw Swine Valley now at Lansing Sexton. Both teams, 10-0 entering this matchup. Now, I see that your pick for this one is Sexton by 3. Now, these two have, I tell you what, the highest playoff points of any team left in Division IV. Mm-hmm. Were ranked 1st and 2nd in the state going into the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Whoa, this should be a good one.
Yeah, I was at the game last year when they played for the regional final.
Yeah.
And Alex Grace, the running back from Swan Valley, he's a Western Michigan commit. He's just a great athlete. I was really impressed last year. He ran for, I think it was over 200 yards against Sexton in that game. And last year he set the state single season record for rushing, and I can absolutely see why. He has a good line in front of him as well, which obviously helps. But their offense goes through him, and I'm not sure if Sexton can necessarily stop him. I think they can slow him down.
Right.
But he will get his yards. He will score. This will be a high-scoring game. The other big difference between last year and this year is Javon Ray. Javon Ray missed that game last year, and it was all on Avante Bell's shoulders to carry the load, and he did. He did very well. Of course, he's back. Javon Ray's back. They're both seniors. So is Grace, actually. You know, all three of them should shine, but the fact that two of them play for one team, that's what makes me think that Sexton will come out the winner.
Certainly. Gotcha. So you got Sexton by 3 in that matchup.
Yep.
All right. Well, Mike, Mason at DeWitt now. Mason 7-3, DeWitt 10-0. DeWitt won the first meeting between these two on September 12th as the Panthers went on to win the CAAC Red title. Mason was able to limit, though, DeWitt's high-powered offense to just 25 points. What are your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I wonder if week three to now you can really make that grand comparison, because there's so much time has passed. Obviously, Jacob Johnson, DeWitt's senior quarterback, he's missed some time. He's back. It looks like he's healthy now. But in that time, they had other guys step up and really perform. Mason has to be healthy in order to win, and I think DeWitt will win this game rather handily. But you know, Mason, they'll put up a good fight. I really do. And Jerry Van Havel, much like we were talking about Mike Smith earlier, Van mm-hmm. Havel down in Mason, he's getting a lot out of a team that has good talent, but I think, again, they're playing above.
Yeah, they certainly are. So in this one, what do you got? You got DeWitt keeping on steaming and rolling in this one?
Yeah, I got them winning 32-15, which, you know, the 15 will probably come early on, and I think DeWitt, after halftime, might be able to make some adjustments and pile it on.
All right, my Grand Ledge at East Kentwood now. Grand Ledge 7-3, East Kentwood 9-1. This is another one that's on my to-watch list, without a doubt. East Kentwood beat one CAAC blue team in Everett by 24 points to start the season, and now they face another mid-Michigan foe. I think this is going to be a smash-mouth type of game. What are your thoughts on this one, Mike?
Yeah, I think so, too. East Kentwood is a team. If you pay attention to high school football, you know about East Kentwood. They've had a good program for a very long time. They've been very successful. Grand Ledge has had, I think, greater success at times, but as you know, they fell off it a little bit in the early aughts and through the mid aughts. But I just think East Kentwood is a better team. The quality of competition that they played in the CAC, or I'm sorry, not the CAC, the OK Red over there near Grand Rapids is just it's so good.
Right,
Rockford
right.
is outstanding. You have teams like Holland West Ottawa and Grand Haven has been good over the past couple of years. I mean, they just play better teams. Now, Grand Ledge did play Sexton, but when you take a look at the entire conference, the OK Red is simply a better conference than the CAC Blue.
Yeah, and I tell you what, Mike, when you talk about this matchup, there is certainly high motivation for the Comets, seeing as though they're looking for their first district title since 2005. It's been quite some time for them, so that's going to be an interesting game. So, Mike, where will you be at tonight, man?
I will be at Eden Rapids.
Gotcha.
Looking forward to that game. I watched Harbor Creek, I think it was 3 years ago now. I was working in Jackson still, and I really liked their coach. I forget his name off the top of my head, but I met him back then. I really thought, man, this seems like a pretty good program. One of the things that's interesting about them, they put out linemen. It's really bizarre. They have like really big kids on their offensive line. And
right.
It's
right.
not a very big school. I mean, it's a Division IV school. But they send kids to college mostly to play on the line. So I'm really curious how that's going to shake out tonight, if Eden Rapids is going to be able to counter some rather large kids on the line they probably haven't seen very many of like that this season.
Now, you know, Mike, when you talk about this time of year for high school playoffs, something that I really kind of pay close attention to is just how teams win during this time of the year. Because I feel as though momentum is so huge. Sometimes I see teams who, you know, the week before blow out a team, have a cupcake matchup, and then come into a matchup with the next round in the playoffs and kind of come in a bit relaxed and get, you know, stung in the butt, basically. How big is momentum and having the right type of momentum during this time of the year?
Yeah, there are two factors I think trump when it comes to predicting who's going to win in the playoffs. Number one is quality of opponents. That's why I think Sexton is so good. Swan Valley, of course, they're undefeated, but Sexton played all Class A schools this entire season. Swan Valley has played all B except one C team. Granted, it was Saginaw Novell, which is a very good team.
Mm-hmm, right.
But nonetheless, I mean, Sexton has played bigger schools, and they have beaten them consistently. The other one is kind of like you said, it's the trend. You know, if a team has won five or six in a row, which Mason has, but of course DeWitt has won 10 in a row.
Yeah, a little difference there, but yeah.
I guess it was a good example until I realized, oh yeah, our team's undefeated.
Right, I see where you're going though.
But against other schools that maybe like lost two and then won two to finish out the season, I would probably say Mason might be coming in a little bit hotter in that case.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just now joining us here on Current Sports, we are talking with Mike Cohine of MLive.com, high school prep sports writer. He'll be out at the Eaton Rapids game tonight, district matchups tonight. Fun stuff here. Now, you know, when looking at this, when you look at 14 local teams, Mike, that are, you know, still in the hunt to try and make their dreams come true, what do you think the magic number is going to be after this weekend, if you had to just throw one out there?
That's a tough one.
14 now.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure I know most of the 14 that would be on your radar.
Right. Right.
Probably eight.
Mm-hmm.
Probably eight. I think a few of them that are going out of the area will lose because the competition, primarily the teams are going out west. The competition out there tends to be a little bit better. And we do have a couple in the area playing each other as well, so obviously you lose one there. Maybe seven. I mean, maybe it cuts right down in half, which I know is kind of a chicken way out because half the teams in the entire state will lose and drop out. But I think seven would be a good number.
That would be. Well, time will certainly tell. Again, folks, Mike will be at the Battle Creek, Harper Creek at Eaton Rapids game. Catches work later on tonight. All right, Mike. Well, the talk of the town, as you know, is Michigan State and Ohio State. In my opinion, it's the biggest game that I've covered as a sports reporter. I can't wait for it. The buzz is certainly in the air. What are your thoughts on this game and the implications it could have for either one of these teams in a national scheme of things?
Yeah, I think a lot more is being made of this game than maybe it should. At the end of the day, Ohio State is not even ranked in the top 10 right now. Michigan State getting this amped about the Ohio State game, I understand because it may be the biggest game of the season, other than maybe the Oregon game. Well, yeah, I would say definitely. Over the Oregon game, or compared to the Oregon game. But I don't see number 13 being that big of a deal right now. Mm-hmm. You know, as things play out for the rest of the season, I get, okay, looking back, it might be that big of a deal. But I mean, Michigan State has beaten Ohio State when it's been ranked number one before.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see Michigan State beating Ohio State when it's ranked 13 being something to get all excited about. That's the kind of thing like Northwestern would do. Northwestern would get completely crazy if it beat a number 13 ranked team because it's Northwestern. It's just not that good.
Right.
I know aiming high is, I mean, that's kind of the message I'm sending here. You know, aim high, and this is probably going to be the biggest game. Well, as far as ranked teams, it'll be the biggest until the Big Ten Championship. But I think even then, I think the Big Ten Championship game would be bigger than this. And if we go back to the Rose Bowl, that's where the big payoff is in terms of national recognition. If you win back-to-back Rose Bowls, you are on the map.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from with that, Mike. But the thing is why I say this game is so huge is because when you look at the Big Ten spectrum of things, Michigan State and Ohio State, for me, are just head above heels above everybody else, I feel as though. And they're both in the same division. So if Michigan State beats Ohio State, it's a fair prediction that they will win out and be in the Big Ten Championship game. We'll play whoever that team is from the West. They're better than every team in the West. So I can pretty much assume, I'm just going to assume, that Michigan State is going to be the Big Ten champion after Saturday if they do beat Ohio State. put it in that perspective, I think the national boards, when they sit down and look at the body of work that Michigan State has, I mean, they got a solid case for this team to be in that 14 playoff in its first year. That's why just the implications for me are so sky high for me. That's why I tend to disagree in that aspect, Mike.
Yeah, I see, and I got to disagree with that. Michigan State, if Michigan State beat Oregon, they could be in that conversation. The loss to Oregon, it wiped them out of that.
You think
that,
it was that crucial?
I think it was.
Do you think they – because, you know, with since that happened so earlier in the year, what was it, week three when Michigan State played Oregon, I kind of have the opinion that maybe, you know, I don't think the committee has forgotten about it, but maybe it's lacked a bit of luster. Seeing as though it happened so earlier in the year, teams certainly improve. I mean, just looking at last year, how Michigan State was able to get better. I mean, looking at week three of Michigan State football last year, I'm sitting there like, there's no way this team will even sniff a Rose Bowl, let alone playing it. So, I mean, there's certain factors, and you never know. It's the thing. I mean, we're sitting here powwowing about this on a radio show. You never know what the committee is thinking. I don't know what's going through Condoleezza Rice's head right now. You know what I mean, Mike?
Yeah, but see, you and I have watched the NCAA basketball selection committee for many years.
Right.
And one of the things they take into account, kind of like we were talking about a few minutes ago, who's hot right now. And I agree, sometimes the early season wins don't mean as much, but that game was so big that people will not forget it. And now if Michigan State wins this game big, and then they go the rest of the season and absolutely light up everyone, you know, we're talking like 25, 30-point wins. I mean, just absolute statement victories.
Right.
Then there's a chance. But I at this point, I cannot see the Oregon game getting diminished enough so people will say, oh, well, it doesn't really matter, and we'll let them into the national tournament.
How much weight does that 9-point lead in the third have?
I think a lot.
You think it does?
Yeah, I think it does. I mean, if Michigan State would have lost by one at Oregon, that would have been one thing.
Right.
But
it would have kind of felt like a win in a way, if you ask me. But looking at how that game transpired, I mean, on paper, Michigan State got blown out. Let's just call it like it is. On paper, it looks like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, there are moments in the game that doesn't – I don't, the final score in statistics don't tell the whole story in that game, because Michigan State, I mean, I'm sitting there at halftime, and I'm like, oh, man, this is a turning point that we have been waiting for as Spartan fans for this team. And then it kind of just went out the window as that third quarter progressed.
Yeah, and I remember watching the second half of that game and just feeling sick. I mean, I really did. I walked out of my media room in the house, and I went to the kitchen and I said, I cannot believe this is happening right now. Yeah, I think it was a commercial break, and I almost didn't go back in.
I
was so upset. But yeah, a month from now, the SEC might fall apart. I mean, the SEC could eat each other up to the point where another conference champion could rise up and take what's presumed to be, and I tend to agree with this, unfortunately, that a second team from the SEC will get into this thing. But who knows? I mean, the Mississippis could fall apart, and that would drag down Alabama and Auburn.
Yeah.
And if that happens, you know, I can't see a second team from the Pac-10. So, yeah, I think Michigan State could get back into that conversation. But if I'm betting on it, I would say no. I would say they're not in the playoffs. And a large part of that is going to be the Oregon game.
Oh, boy. Well, it's going to be an interesting one to see what unfolds as this season trickles down. Again, folks, you can catch Mike Cohan. He will be at the Battle Creek, Harper Creek at Eden Rapids High School football district game tonight. Catch his work later on tonight. He'll have a full recap of that game and so much more. Mike Cohan, high school prep writer for MLive.com. Mike, my man, always a pleasure.
Yeah, thanks, Al. Appreciate it.
All right, let's start our second break. When we come back, we'll wrap up this MSU and OSU talk. Also, reflect a little bit, seeing as though it is Reflection Friday here on Current Sports. All of that and so much more. Do not do it. Don't touch that dial. You have better run from me with everything you own. All right, welcome back to Current Sports. We just finished wrapping up our high school prep district football discussion with Mike Cohan of MLive.com. Boy, it's an exciting time for Mid-Michigan. It's one of my favorite times of the year. It's November. Of course, Thanksgiving is not too far away. And, you know, one of my favorite times of Thanksgiving is going down and witnessing at least one or two or three or four. Who knows what would happen? You know, you never know in the postseason. But I love going down and watching how some of our local teams do down at Ford Field. It's fun stuff. So districts are tonight, folks. Again, I should be going out to the Mason at DeWitt game. Looking forward to that. Going and seeing Rob Zimmerman and company over there. It should be a good game, but just a fun time in general for high school sports. Well, Alex, I believe we had somebody who wanted tickets, right? Is it Ashley? I think Ashley took home a pair of two tickets to tonight's MSU men's basketball game. Is that correct?
Ashley is the winner, so we'll give her a call after the show.
Nice. So that's one pair. We have another pair if you guys want to call in. We have 9 minutes left. If you want to call in, 517-355-9527. That pair will be going. Will be given away to the MSU women's basketball game that will be taking place on Sunday. So if you want to attend that, if you want to enjoy some Sunday hoops on a Sunday night, you know, watching the MSU women's basketball team do their thing, hey, call on up, 517-355-9527. Well, predictions, Alex. MSU and OSU, my man. Looking at this game, I haven't got your thoughts on it. People kind of got my thoughts on it yesterday. What do you think is going to happen tomorrow?
Man, I think that it's going to be a close game. Let's get that out of there. You think it's going to be a close game?
Yeah. I
think,
well, you know,
close.
What? I think I have MSU by 10, so yeah. I got them winning by double digits.
Yeah, I say it's going to be a relatively – the weather's going to be a little bit sleek, so I think that as much as the defenses are good, I think it's going to be actually a little high scoring.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say Ohio State will get up to 24 points, but Michigan State will win 31-24.
That is really close to mine. That is very close to mine, actually. Mine is 31-21, so – I think when looking at this matchup, don't sleep on Ohio State's pass defense, folks. I think there's going to be a true test for Connor Cook. Last year, if you remember, in the Big Ten championship game with Ohio State and Michigan State, 304 passing yards and 3 TDs. Connor Cook was great. That offense was rolling. So the Buckeyes' pass defense definitely had some holes in it. But again, Chris Ash, I think, is a key factor to this whole scheme that isn't talked about enough. He has the Buckeyes right now with the 13th best pass defense in the entire nation. I tell you what, that's something going to hone in. Connor Cook is going to have to be the Connor Cook that we've seen as of recently, and I think he will be. I mean, Connor Cook is a guy who, if anything, he has confidence. He's been making throws through tight windows. He looks very confident. I think Jeremy Langford, Nick Hill, those guys will tear it up on the run game, have to find some holes there. So the offensive line is also key in this matchup. And Tony Lippitt, Tony Lippitt has been, nothing short as, easily, I think, the best wide receiver in the Big Ten so far this year. He is in the running for the Biletnikoff Award this year. I think it's going to be a fun matchup to see him go against this pass defense. And, looking at it, Ohio State, as far as the defensive line goes, Ohio State's offense has struggled against defensive lines that are relatively decent this year. If you look at it, Ohio State has had a September 6th loss to Virginia Tech and an October 25th close call with Penn State. Both Virginia Tech and Penn State have decent defensive lines. They were able to put a lot of pressure on JT Barrett, and he kind of folded in a little respects. So when you go against an MSU team that's got guys like Shalik Calhoun and Marcus Rush, hey, you got to bring it. You got to bring it. So you better believe that Pat Narduzzi is going to look to put a lot of pressure on JT Barrett, a guy who has been absolutely remarkable throughout this entire year. He's read the defense well. He's got a great arm on him. He's able to burn you with his feet. You better believe that he's going to have to use his legs a lot in this matchup, considering the fact that Michigan State's defensive line is nothing to play with. Now, MSU's defense is going to also have to look for a guy in Jalen Marshall. I mean, this kid is a kid who reminds me sort of like a Percy Harvin. So far this year, Ohio State has used Jalen Marshall as a running back, as a wide receiver, and even as a quarterback. So look for that. Connor Cook, though, just to put things in perspective, 1,800 yards, folks. Connor Cook is thrown for 1,800 yards. To be more specific, 1,868 yards, 17 TDs. That's impressive stuff through the first 8 games of the Spartan season. It ranks 3rd in the Big Ten in passing yards. Cook is going to have to bring it. That defense cannot have lapses. Again, I'm taking this thing, MSU 31, OSU 21. Let's dive into Reflection Friday, where we take a look at the week that was in sports on this week of current sports. All right, Reflection Friday, folks, is where we just kind of relax during the last moments of Friday's show and just sort of look at the week that was in sports here on Current Sports and even bring up some stories that we may have not have brought up throughout this entire week. So it's our favorite moments of the week, favorite stories of the week, so on and so forth. Alex, looking at the week that was in sports, what are your favorite moments and favorite stories?
A lot. And it's funny, last night, I don't know what you were doing, Al, but I was watching the Cleveland Browns and Brian Hoyer take on Darquez and the Bengals.
Yeah, I didn't get to check that game out. I was watching NBA.
I don't think anybody would have suspected that at this point in the season, that behind Brian Hoyer and Andy Dalton, before the season started, it'd be a 5-3 and then a 5-2 team.
Yeah.
I mean, unbelievable record for those two quarterbacks at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
But man, the Bengals did not look good, and Brian Hoyer really making a statement. And as much as you think that there isn't a quote-unquote controversy in Cleveland, you know the Johnny Manziel that we covered in the summer. You know that he's a competitor. He exceeds wherever he goes, and now he's taking the back seat.
Well, I would say, Alex, I don't think there's a quarterback controversy anymore.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's not a controversy.
I think Hoyer's the guy
It's
now.
A controversy for Manziel himself.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
So that's the controversy in Cleveland. It's not a QB controversy who's going to be the starter, but it's a controversy for a single Johnny Manziel.
Yeah.
Will he like the way he is?
I agree. I think if Johnny Manziel wants to be a starting quarterback in today's NFL, he's going to have to get away from Cleveland.
Yeah, last one, aside from just Manziel, the Michigan discussion we had on Monday. I mean, a lot of callers. You had another caller calling on Tuesday with more comments about it. I mean, you saw the Darren Kirkland decommitment for today, and the AD, they still don't even know who's going to be the next AD. So it's just amazing to see the peril for the University of Michigan right now. And for the Michigan fans out there, I mean, what goes up must come down. And I'm sure he'll be back.
You said that with a little bit of a smirk. Yeah. That was the Spartan in you.
No,
the Spartan in you
that.
Wants to smile. Come on, it wants
to
smile.
You're smiling right now. Let's be honest.
All right. I thought it was it's been a very intriguing week. I want to bring up a story, though. Well, I guess two stories. First off, I have not seen the latest ESPN 30 for 30. Have you heard about it?
I've heard a lot about it.
Yes, I heard it was fantastic. Ryan Slocum actually called me out on Twitter and said, Al, you have to watch it. I haven't watched it yet. I actually have a DVR, but it's about two brothers who come from different native lands, and they come and play MLB baseball. A heck of a story. I got to check that out. So that's one I definitely want to reflect on and get to throughout the weekend. Another one is, have you seen this whole thing with Mike and Bill Simmons? Did you hear about that? Mike Golic actually made a comment about LeBron James. Actually about Bill Simmons, because Bill Simmons went on a podcast and said that LeBron James does not look like himself. He has not been great and so on and so forth. And Mike Golic goes on his ESPN radio show and says, Bill, you're crazy. How can you make that statement? You're only four games in. So Bill responded. Yeah, Bill responded with this whole Twitter rant. Talking about, you know, how, oh my goodness, Mike has lost all respect for me. And so there's like this big ESPN war going on. What's new, though, right? So interesting stuff. And also Ernie Boone, the conversation about Adrian Peterson and chastising children. If you haven't heard that one, me and Ernie, you got to check that one out. That was a fantastic conversation. Great week here on Current Sports, folks. Again, next week, we'll have Nick Archer, the head coach of the East Lansing boys soccer team. He's bringing the entire team out for that taping. It's going to be a fun one, folks. Thanks to all of you for tuning in today's Current Sports. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKR AM 870 East Lansing. Take care. Have a fantastic weekend. And be easy, people.